Hi, welcome back to AzureConf. My name is Michael Collier. I'm a principal cloud architect with Aditi, and I'm also an Azure MVP. And I'm here to talk to you today about some of the cool things we can do with Azure Resource Manager. If you want to get a hold of me, I have all my information up on the screen. You can feel free to email me at michaelc@aditi.com, reach out to me on Twitter at Michael Collier, or on my blog at michaelscollier.com. If you have any questions today, feel free to submit those as well. You can submit them on Channel 9 or on Twitter at #AzureConf. So some of the things we're going to be talking about today, we're going to go over some of the current challenges we have with the current way we manage Azure resources and the current portal and PowerShell and stuff like that. And then we'll go into what the Azure Resource Manager is, and then we'll see some demonstrations on how we can use Azure Resource Manager using the Azure Preview Portal, the REST API, PowerShell, and Visual Studio. So let's get started with some of the issues we have with how we currently manage resources using the current approach with Service Management API. If you go into the portal today and kind of create your applications, we pretty much have to create resources as individual items, right? I create a cloud service, I create a VM, I create a website, I create a storage account. And there's no really good way to determine how those resources are actually put together, right? I don't know that if a website and storage account are together, if a virtual machine and a website are together, if the VM and Azure SQL database are together, or if any of these different resources are actually part of the same logical application. It's really on me as the application owner or developer to put some sort of naming convention in place that identifies that any particular resources are actually associated to the same logical application. If I wanted to see any sort of billing information or events kind of monitoring information about these different resources, it's really on me to build that out myself as well. There's nothing in the current management portal to help me do that. It's really on me as the application owner to put in some sort of pattern that helps me visualize any sort of monitoring or metrics about my applications. If I'm managing individual resources, it's really not that bad, right? I go into the portal, I can create a cloud service or create a website or a cache, things like that. But once I start bundling them together, I really have to start figuring out how I want to manage the dependencies between these, how I want to orchestrate any sort of deployment that I'm working on. So if I take the example here where I have an Azure website, an Azure SQL database, and a Redis cache, I have to know that there's a dependency between these objects. So I need to know that I need to create the database and the Azure Redis cache first, go ahead and get those connection strings out of those two resources, and then update my website configuration so that I can go ahead and use that in my application. But it's on me as the application developer to understand how that model works and those dependencies and build that up all on my own. If we go into the Azure Management Portal, we can see kind of that single resource point of view that we're used to dealing with. Down the left-hand side, we have all the different resources that are available in Azure. In this case, we're looking at a screenshot of storage. So here I can see all the different storage accounts that I have. And there's nothing in this view that tells me that any of these storage accounts belong to the same application or are any way related to each other. Like I said before, it's really on me as the application developer or an owner to put some sort of naming scheme or pattern in place that can help me say that, hey, these three or four storage accounts might belong to the same application. If I was to try to create a storage account, maybe using something like PowerShell, and I wanted to do the commandlet new Azure storage account, if that storage account already exists, I get an exception or an error back. There's not a way in PowerShell through just the native commandlet to say, hey, just give me a storage account and make sure that it is there. If it's already there, don't worry about it. But if it's not there, go ahead and create it. I pretty much have to write all that myself. So I could do a simple PowerShell commandlet, some script like this, where I go ahead and try to get an Azure storage account. If that storage account does not exist, it'll throw an exception. So I can catch that exception, assuming then that storage account doesn't exist, or knowing that storage account doesn't exist, and then go ahead and create a new storage account off of that. So I have to build in a little bit of logic. It's really on me as the owner to build that logic into my application when I want to go ahead and maybe write a PowerShell script to go ahead and provision my entire solution, which could contain multiple Azure resources. If I look at the bill, I go into the billing portal or the billing section of the Azure portal, I can pretty much just see a breakdown of how much I spent across different Azure resources. In this case here, we can see that my bill is $102, And I can see a little bit of a breakdown that, you know, I might have spent, you know, maybe $70 on websites or databases or individual things like that, but nothing that really tells me, you know, hey, this application, your bakery application that consumes websites, databases, and cache, it costs you this much, you know, X amount of dollars to run. There's nothing in the portal that gives me that. I can go and view my bill. If I was to download a PDF version of my bill, I could see a little bit more breakdown, kind of breaking down storage by different types of SKUs, but still nothing in this view that gives me an idea of, you know, how much my bakery application might be costing. I can go in and download this CSV to get a much more detailed dump of the data. And there's a lot of good information here, but still nothing in this view that tells me how much my application really costs to run. I still, as the application developer owner, have to go in and build in some sort of tags or, you know, naming scheme that can say that these certain, you know, four or five resources actually belong to each other, and then compute a total cost on that. So that's kind of some of the issues we have and kind of some of the current challenges we have with the current way we manage Azure resources. And what I want to do now is talk about some of the ways that the new Azure Resource Manager can help solve some of those challenges. So I think first off, we need to kind of start off with a little bit on what is the Azure Resource Manager. And Scott talked about that a little bit in his keynote earlier this morning. So Azure Resource Manager gives us a way to manage individual entities or resources that make up our application. So each entity, you know, a website, a virtual machine, a SQL database, storage account, those are all individual resources. And I can group them into a logical group called a resource group. So I put resources in a resource group, and it's up to me to determine how I want to configure the different resource groups. I could have one big resource group that contains, you know, multiple different resources, or I could break them apart and have smaller resource groups. It's really up to me to determine, you know, how I want to go about managing, especially provisioning and deprovisioning, those individual resources. So if we look at this here, we can see that an Azure resource group is really provides a unit of management. So I provision and deprovision those resources by resource group. I think that's the key thing to remember with Azure Resource Manager, is it gives you a way to kind of an application lifecycle. You know, I provision resources, I deprovision resources in one action, and let Resource Manager know that, hey, I'm going to spin up, you know, X number of resources within this resource group. We can also apply permissions to individual resources. And you see that when the new version of the Azure Preview Portal, where just recently they had built in RBAC support or role-based access control into the Preview Portal. And this allows us to assign, you know, who can do what actions on these individual resources. And that's something that the Azure Resource Manager provides that's only available via the Azure Resource Manager and not the current version of the Service Management API. And again, it's important to know that we have one resource per resource. One resource goes to a resource group. I can't have individual resources and multiple resource groups. So I'm creating a new Azure VM that's going to be in a resource group. That VM can't be in multiple different resource groups. So as Scott showed earlier today, there's the new portal at portal.azure.com, and this portal is built off of and uses the new Azure Resource Manager. And there's a lot of new things that are available within this portal that we don't have access to in the current portal, the current manage.azure.com portal. Things like RBAC support and tagging and so forth are only available in this portal. So let's take a look here. I'm going to jump over to the portal, and we're going to take a look at how we can actually go ahead and look at the resource groups that we have available in the portal. So I got the new Azure portal up at portal.azure.com, and there's a couple of things I want to show you. One, we can just browse the different resource groups that are available. So if I'm going to go to the browse section here, and I'm going to click at the top on resource groups. And this will load up all the different resource groups that I have available. So you can see I have quite a few different resource groups in here. Now, if I want to create a new application, maybe I want to create a new website and a SQL database together, those will belong in the same resource group. So let's go ahead and do that. So I'm going to click on New. I get the new blade that pops out. And we'll go down and find the website plus SQL section in here. So that's going to open up a new blade for us. And now I need to provide that resource group name. So let's just call it Azure Conf 2014-1. And that's good. So now I need to configure my website properties. So you see it's already got the URL populated for us. I'm going to keep the standard small hosting plan. And I'm going to change my location over to the Western US region. Say OK on that. Now I need to configure my database settings. So again, I can create a new database or use an existing database. But the new database one, we'll go ahead and use that. The database name, already populated. I'll keep the standard pricing tier. And now I need to configure my Azure SQL database server information. So the server name is populated for me. So let's go ahead and provide a login as well for my admin. Get that information, make sure my passwords match, and we'll change this database over to be in the Western US data center already. Good. So it's already there. Say OK on that. OK. So now everything is ready to go. So we'll click Start on that. I'll pin it to the start board, and it'll probably take a minute or so for that to go ahead and get created. But I can go ahead and look at this one, though. It's already there. So ahead of time, I created one already. So go to Azure Conf 1. That's the same section we just created with an Azure website and SQL database. If we look in here, we can see those individual resources that are available. We got the website, we got our database, and the template by default brings in application insights as well. We can see in here we have our cost information. So if I wasn't using a lot of free plans, right now I have some more detailed cost information in here for the different resources I have. I think this is a nice section here where I can go to the monitoring section. This will show me the different events that have occurred. And this, I think, is a really good way to figure out learn more about Azure Resource Manager and the API, but also give us a way to see kind of what's happened. If there's been any sort of errors that occurred during our deployment process, we could see that. So I can certainly scroll through this list here and see, a started and hopefully a lot of succeeded as well. So I'll go at the top and let's just click on one of these as well, maybe like update website config. And here I can see information about any sort of authorization that happens, saying what role I'm in. I think this section on the resource URI is really nice. This gives me information about my subscription, and how the Resource Manager API works. And when we get into looking at the REST API, I think this will become a lot more clear. But we can kind of see a lot of this. And if we wanted to, it becomes an easy way for us to invoke similar actions against the API that the Azure Management Portal here at portal.azure.com is actually doing. So we can see that we got a green smiley face here, so our resource was created. So we can jump into that. So this is now available for us. We can see all the same stuff here, and we got some events as well. So a pretty easy way to go in and do that. Again, if you want to look at the resource groups, I certainly like to pin them to my start board. So it gives me one too many. Open up here. There's our resource groups. So I can see all my different resource groups in here, and there's Azure Conf 2014 as well. So a pretty easy way to kind of go ahead and navigate and provision new resources using the new Azure portal as well. So just to kind of recap some of the things we just saw, I can go ahead with the portal and browse resource groups, but I cannot create an empty resource group. If I need to create just an empty resource group, we're going to have to do that with PowerShell, and we'll see an example of that coming up in a little bit. I can go ahead and create a new website plus SQL using the templates that are available in the portal, giving a resource group name, and then configuring any website or Azure SQL database properties as appropriate. And then I can go ahead and view that resource group and look at any event details on that as well to kind of see what actually took place. So with that in place, let's go ahead and take a look at the Azure REST API. And I see we have a question from Neil, and he's asking, is there a method to move items from the default resource groups to, I'm assuming, other resource groups there? And right now, once the resources are in the resource group, you can't move them between resource groups. They're kind of locked into place. It's one of the kind of current limitations. And I have a slide to kind of talk about at the end of the session today about how some of the current limitations that we have with Resource Manager and being able to move items between resource groups is one of those such limitations. But good question, Neil. Thank you. So let's get into the Azure Resource Manager, look at the REST API. And I think before we talk about how that works, it's important to kind of contrast the new API with how the current service management API works. And again, everything is a single resource point of view and how this is put together. So we take actions on individual resources, right? I look at a website or a VM. I take an action on that website or VM. And there's not really a way to coordinate action between those. I can't, without me doing any sort of manual intervention and putting the items in the right order, it's up to really me to do that. The system doesn't handle that on my behalf. So I have to check for the existence of something and then create that resource if I want to have a script or a program that is essentially idempotent that I can run it multiple times and ensure I'm going to get the same expected results. When we look at Azure Resource Manager, it works a little bit different. It's really that next generation API that our tools can take advantage of. So if we start here at the bottom and work our way up, we can see that we have different resources, and those different resources, like a website, a database, so forth, are actually different resource providers. So every new item that is lit up in the new preview portal is a way to work with those new resources. That's a good way to figure out if your service that you're after, that resource you're after, is available, is if it's in the new portal. And we'll see another way we can look at that as well when we look at the REST API. So as new resources come online, there'll be these resource providers that'll talk to this provider contract. And this contract is how Azure Resource Manager knows that it can actually talk to those individual resources. So Resource Manager is going to talk to this contract. Every new resource provider conforms that same contract. And then our tools like Visual Studio and PowerShell and so forth can actually talk to Resource Manager and then end up reaching down into those individual providers as well. So we take a look here at kind of a very simple deployment, and we'll dive into these a little bit in more detail coming up as well. But there's a template file, and Scott mentioned the template file in his keynote as well. So there's a template, it's made up a JSON file. And in this file, we got two resources we want to provision. I have an Azure website and an Azure SQL database. I know that the Azure SQL database the website depends on the Azure SQL database. So I need to go ahead and create that SQL database first so I can go ahead and get its connection string information and update the Azure website's connection string. So there's that connection string section within the website. I want to go ahead and update that as well. And the templates have a depends on section. We'll see that when we look at the templates here. That allows Resource Manager to basically create this dependency graph to build out the resources in the proper order. It also has a nice way to ensure that it really is kind of like essentially like a desired state set up as well within Resource Manager. So I put my resources in place, I provision them, and Resource Manager knows to make sure that those resources end up in a state that I've defined. I can run this template multiple times and ensure that I get the same result every time, and my resources are in the state as configured in that template. If I want to add Redis cache to this template, I could certainly just add that Redis cache resource section in there. And we'll see how to do that coming up later. Add the Redis cache section in there, run the template again, and Resource Manager will provision just that Redis cache and hook that up for us. This gives us a way we can actually save our applications as well and put that into source control. Currently, there's not really a good way to do that unless we go ahead and write something like a PowerShell script to actually go ahead and provision out our entire application and save that PowerShell script. With Resource Manager, we have a declarative model where I can have this JSON template that actually lays out all the information about my application and the dependencies of different resources and how those resources should be configured. And this template's really nice because it has the ability to have parameterized input and output as well. So I could save a template, and maybe it's something like a SaaS multi-tenant application, right? A new customer comes online, I want to provision them a new website and a new Azure SQL database. So I have parameters that define, you know, maybe the customer's name and some information about them. So I can go ahead and tell Resource Manager, hey, here's the parameters, here's those values, here's our template, merge that together and go ahead and create the resources for us. And this is what the templates look like. It is a big JSON file that initially, if you were to download some of these templates, and I'll show you how to do that, download these templates. This is honestly probably one of the more daunting things when you first start off with using Resource Manager is the size of some of the templates. They can get to be rather large depending on the number of resources that are in there. It is a big JSON file, and that can be, if you're not used to working with JSON, can be a little bit intimidating to figure out where the different pieces are. But a lot of the Visual Studio tooling now with syntax highlighting and some schema IntelliSense and some of the tools that we'll see coming up later on Resource Manager and Visual Studio really help make this a lot easier to work with. Let's go ahead and break these down a little bit though so we can get a better idea of how this works. Within that resource template, two big sections to pay attention to are the parameters, which are just those input parameters to the template, and a resources section. Within the resources, there are multiple different resource elements or entities. Those are things like your Azure website, SQL database, and so forth. And individual top-level resources can have children as well. So there can be a child resources section and then individual resources under that as well. It's kind of a way we can help build out that dependency chain. So if we look at this again, we can see that I have our JSON file up here, and at the top are just the parameters, and these are just all the parameters for all the resources in this template. There's nothing in this nothing in the parameters section that breaks apart individual parameters for individual resources, right? There's nothing that says that these parameters are related to the Azure website or Azure SQL database. It's really on me as the application developer to go ahead and have a good parameter names so I can help figure out like what resource parameters actually belong to what resource. We can then go down and look at the individual resource section. We see we have values for those single resources. A couple of things to pay attention to in here is the name of that resource, especially the type. So in this case here, we're looking at a Microsoft.SQL/server. So this is actually creating an Azure SQL database server for us. And the location is which Azure region it's going to go into. There's also an API. So these resources kind of have different API versions as well. And maybe new features will light up in new API versions. We also have a section for properties. And these properties are properties specific to this resource. So we're creating an Azure SQL database. In this case, I need to have the administrative logon and password as well. So those are properties specific to this resource. And then the Azure SQL database has a child resources section as well. Because we're creating an Azure SQL database, I will actually need to make sure that I create the Azure SQL database itself, not just the server. So in this case, we have those same properties. And then we can actually look in here. We see there's that depends on section here. So depends on is saying, I want to go ahead and build up that resource name that the Azure SQL database depends on. So it's going to depend back on that Azure SQL database server to be created for us. We look at working with the REST API. It's important to note that the only way to authenticate against this API is using Azure Active Directory. We know that with the Service Management API, we can go ahead and use X509 certificates to authenticate that way. Right now with the Azure Resource Manager API, it'll only authenticate using Azure Active Directory. So one of the things we need to do is go ahead and register an application in Azure AD, and we need to allow that application to have access to the service, to the management API. There's actually a really good walkthrough on how to do this on MSDN, and I included the link here on my screen at mcollier.net/ARM auth. You can go out there, and that'll direct you over to the MSDN page. I'll walk you through actually how to go ahead and provision a new application in Azure Active Directory and set up the appropriate permissions. I'll show you some of that today, but the MSDN article does a really good job of walking you through that. And we see this code here, get authorization header. All we're trying to do with this piece of code is reach out to Azure Active Directory and get an access token. And we're using the Active Directory authentication library to help us do that. So a pretty easy code. This is boilerplate code straight out of the MSDN article that I'll walk you through actually setting that up. So let's go ahead and look at the REST API and how we can use Resource Manager, how the authentication section works, and then how we can go about creating some resources. So one of the things I want to do is go over to the current management portal at manage.windowsazure.com. I need to go here because I need to actually look at how we're going to add an application to Active Directory, because Active Directory is not yet part of the new preview portal. So I got a Collier demo directory here. I've gone into the application section. And I have an application already created here called ARM REST Demo for Azure Resource Manager REST Demo. If I go and look at this in the configuration section, a few things that are important to note in here. I have a client ID, we'll need that. A redirect URI, which is set up to, this is just a native application, so it doesn't have to be a publicly available URI. And then I go down to the permission section here, and we can see I have an Azure Resource Manager available in here. I've already created that, and we're allowing this one access to the Service Management Preview API. So I get that put in place, and that registers this application with Azure AD, and now I can go ahead and query it, make a call against that to get an access token. So to do that, I've opened up LinkPad here, and I've got a very basic very basic piece of code in here we can walk through a little bit. So I have my client ID in place that we got from the portal, our redirect URI that we saw in the portal as well, and our tenant ID. We can again get these parameters from the portal. And then it's that same code that we saw in the PowerPoint slide. Go ahead and set up our authentication context and then acquire a token. So I'm gonna go ahead and run this. Oops, actually gotta not highlight code. So I ran that, and now I get a piece down here. This is our authentication token that I need to pass in. This goes in the authorization header on our request. So I'm gonna copy this out. And now I'm gonna open up Postman here, and I'm going to go ahead and paste that in to some variables I'm saving here in this tool. So I'm going to go to Manage Environments, go to Azure Conf, and I've got my subscription ID and API version and our token here, so I'm going to get rid of this old one. And let's paste that in and save that. All right, so now let's look at some of these some of the options we have with the Resource Manager and the REST API. One is I just want to go ahead and get a list of all the different resources that are available. And I can certainly do that. If I go here onto my screen, I got management.azure.com, subscription. So I say, what is my subscription I'm working with? Which providers? I want to get a list of all the providers, and then I have an API version in place. And we can see on the headers, we're passing in our token, our authorization, and then we're expecting JSON there as well. So let's go ahead and do a git against that. And we can see now, in here, we get a list of all the different resource providers that are available in the Azure Resource Manager, along with some information about them, like which locations are they available in, which API versions are available as well. And these might change. And it's like you see that Redis cache here has two different API versions. If I wanted to get a list of all the different items about a particular resource, like maybe caching, I could go here and say, I want to go my subscription ID, providers, and then which provider do I want? I want the Microsoft.cache provider for Redis, and specifying our API version there. Send on that, and now we can see I have several different Redis caches that are available here and some properties about those, letting me know which version of Redis they are, what the sizing information is, memory, endpoints, so forth. So it's a good way to kind of see some information and kind of query the API, but I think it's more interesting that we can go ahead and actually create resources using this API as well. So I want to go ahead and create a new resource group. And to do that, go up to the top here where our URI is, again, working off our subscription ID, /resource groups, and then the name of the resource group that I want to create. In this case, AzureConf 2014-2, and their API version. And then in my body, we're going to say, I want the location to be the Western US region. So we'll send that. Let's bring this up just a little bit here so we can see it. We got back a 201 created. And we can see that it is in the Western US region and the provisioning state has succeeded. So we know we now have an empty resource group called AzureConf 2014-2. If I wanted, I could go ahead and now deploy a resource to that. So we'll look at this here. So on our URI, again, let's go up. We have subscriptions. Which subscription ID am I working with? Resource groups. Again, now I'm working with the AzureConf 2014-2 resource group. Deployments, and I'm going to create a new deployment, and I gave it a name there kind of corresponding to today's date. This is going to be a put operation. And in our body, I got to specify a little information in here. So let's take a look at that. Some properties to look at. One is this template link in here. I've gone ahead and actually taken one of those JSON templates that we're working with and uploaded this into Azure Blob Storage. So this is one of Microsoft's templates. It's the website template. I can put this in Blob Storage and give it a shared access signature. You can kind of see right here at the end. And then this template takes some properties. So those properties I can actually specify here as well. So I know that I'm going to create a site name of AzureConf 2014 site 02, specify the hosting plan, the location, the SKU, like a basic, a standard for an Azure website, and the size, 0, 1, 2, or 3, correspond to the different sizes for our Azure website. So if I was to go ahead and hit send on this, you see we get a 201 created there, and we get some information here back about this actual resource that's being created. If I wanted, I can go ahead and query this as well. So if we look at our section here at the top on our URI, we go to our resource groups and the name of that deployment. So let's just go ahead and hit send on that. Oops. Hit send Azure Comp. We specify the different name here. Let's see, deployment name. Make sure we got our deployment names the same. Deployments. There we go. There we go. So we can see that this resource is still being, it's running there for that particular resource. Some other resources are coming online as well. If I wanted to clean all this up, I could certainly go ahead and do that. I go to the delete section here on the delete resource group, and I can go ahead and look at my resources there. Which resource group do I want to delete? If I wanted to, just specify a delete request, and that way it would actually delete these resources. So it would delete the Azure SQL database and the website in one foul swoop. For us there. And I got a question from Andy asking, can we create cloud service website and worker roles to resource groups? And currently, the Azure Cloud Services, the traditional PaaS offering in Azure, is not yet in Azure Resource Manager. We still have to work with the current management portal, I would hope that in the not too distant future, cloud services will light up in the preview portal as well, but currently they are not part of the resource model that's available today. But good question. So that shows you a little bit on how we can use the Azure Resource Manager to go ahead and work, or excuse me, use the REST API to go ahead and work with it. Let's kind of continue on and see some other tools that we can work with for Azure Resource Manager. But to recap, right, I need to go ahead and register that native application in Azure AD. So go ahead and go out to the MSDN article that I referenced, and you can kind of see the walkthrough on how we do that. Set the appropriate permissions to work with the Service Management API. Go ahead and get that authentication token. So that's why we make that call using the Active Directory Authentication Library, pass that token in as a bearer token on our authorization header, and then build out the request setting up the appropriate API version and JSON bodies as well. So let's take a look now at PowerShell. There's some really cool things we can do with PowerShell as well. So one of the first things we need is a relatively new version of PowerShell, at least version 0.8 or higher. I definitely recommend with the newer versions as they rev the PowerShell commandlets quite a bit and more features come online. But once we get that in place, we need to go ahead and switch the Azure mode. We say switch Azure mode to Azure Resource Manager. And what this is going to do is it's going to unload all the service management commandlets and then load in the Azure Resource Manager commandlet. So it's two different APIs entirely, and PowerShell allows us to switch between those, which could be really nice depending on what's available. I could certainly have a PowerShell script that would start off with service management, create things like maybe cloud services that aren't yet in resource groups or in resource manager, and then do a switch Azure mode over to resource manager, create some resources there, and come back and forth. So I certainly mix those up just by executing that one line. Once I do that, then I have options here that I can go ahead and view the different information about the templates that are available in Resource Manager. So I could say get Azure Resource Group Gallery Template, and that would list out all the different options, or excuse me, list out all the different templates that are available. If I wanted to see just the particular templates from my publisher, I could say, you know, I want to get only the ones from Microsoft, and I could certainly list that out as well. So let's take a look at doing that. We're going to go ahead and see how I can view some more information in the gallery that's available, and then we'll go ahead and modify and deploy a template as well. So let's go over here to PowerShell, and a couple things to look at. So I got PowerShell ISE up in place. One thing I want to point out is this line in here. Right now I've set it debug preference to silently continue, but if you set it to continue, this can be a good way just to debug some of your PowerShell commandlets. One of the nice things about this, turning that to continue will allow you to print out all the different requests that are actually going to Azure Resource Manager and see those HTTP requests. So it can be a really good way to get more richer information out of that. So we say switch Azure mode to Azure Resource Manager. Let's make sure we're already in that. All right, and we are, so that's good. Now I want to look at, let's go ahead and get all the different templates that are available. Let me make this screen just a little bit bigger here. So if I was to say get Azure Resource Group Gallery Template, not passing in any publisher information, execute that. This actually is going to go out and, oops, I still had debug turned on. But we see there's quite a few different templates that are actually available from different partners of Microsoft. So I can see they got some in here from Joomla, a bunch of other ones as well, Kintico, and some Microsoft ones. So if I only want to get just the Microsoft one, I can say, you know, just go ahead and give me the publisher information, and now I can limit that to just particular Microsoft ones as well. So now I can see what's available out here. Let's go ahead and save some of these down and make a change to them. So I'm going to do the Save Azure Resource Group Gallery Template, where the template I want to get down, I'm going to specify by the identity parameter, and I want to get the website plus SQL template, and I'm going to save that to my temp drive. So we'll go ahead and run that. So that got saved down. So we go and look at our directory, and here it is. Came down just now. So let's go ahead and open this guy up. So we go into Visual Studio here, and we can see this is a decent sized template. We're looking at about 366 lines, but not too bad. Most of the section in here, most of what makes this template so large is, we get down here, there's a lot of stuff around application insights and the different alerting rules that are in place by default. But I want to make a small change to this template. So what I want to do is, I know that our database name is going to be pretty consistent. We don't need to pass that in as a parameter. So we're going to go ahead and take this database name out of the template here. And instead of having it being an input parameter, what I want to do is make it a variable. Because I know that I'm just going to say it's always going to be this particular name. So we can see now the nice things in with Visual Studio is I get this kind of IntelliSense prompt as well. So I know I'm going to work with variables. And I know our variable name is going to be database name. And let's give it a database name of Azure Conf 2014 DB-2. Or 3, and that's going to be our database name. Now I need to change this over so that we're using variables instead of parameters. So let's go ahead and do that. We see we got a couple of red icons in here. We know that we have some errors. So we'll scroll down, and there we're looking at parameters. So instead of parameters, I want variables. We got one more down here as well. And that's actually when it builds up the connection string for us. So we'll scroll over to the right here, and there's our database. That's a parameter. Let's change that to a variable. Good, all of the red disappeared, so we know that there's no more red. That's a good sign. So now I've made a small change to this template, got it local, and I want to now go ahead and deploy this. So let's go back to PowerShell. And let's look at this. Let's actually turn off some of the debugs so that we don't get a whole lot of that in place. All right, now let's remove these comments here and walk through what actually we're doing when deploying this template. So one, we're setting up a secure password, in this case here, to actually be a password for our Azure SQL database. And then we're using the new Azure Resource Group commandlet. So I say the new Azure Resource Group, the name is going to be what I passed into the variable here, which should be Azure Conf 2014-3. And location is the Western US. Specify the path to our template file. And now I need to specify some parameters. The nice thing about the way this commandlet works, as soon as I kind of complete the template file, parameter there and do a space and a dash, it'll auto-complete the rest of these for me. So just to kind of show that it's actually reaching into the template for us and grabbing some of that information. So I say that I want the site name, the hosting plan, location, server name, server location, all those different properties we specified on that template are actually going to be available for us in here, and I could just execute this to kick that off. So let's go ahead and do that. Let's clear our screen here so we can see all this working. And let's run through this. So we can see that one thing it did is actually checked if the template is valid as well. So there's actually a commandlet that will actually validate that for it. I think it's like test Azure Resource Group Gallery. Let's see, what is that commandlet? Oh, it's running. I can't look at it, but I have too many servers apparently already in my subscription there. We'll let this guy go ahead and create. Nice thing about this, though, this error in place, if I was to go ahead and create or clean up the number of servers that I have, I could go ahead and run this template again, and it would just go ahead and complete the missing pieces, which I think is really nice. I don't have to do a whole lot of cleanup work. I'll end up in that desired state, which actually works out pretty well for me. So let's kind of continue on with some of that. So just to kind of recap here what we saw with working with PowerShell. One is, my first thing I need to do is once I download a recent version of PowerShell commandlets is to go ahead and switch the Azure mode over to Azure Resource Manager. I can then use Resource Manager to browse those use the PowerShell commandlets, to browse the different gallery templates, just doing a view on those. I can save that template locally and then modify it. I think that is easily honestly the easiest way to kind of figure out how to work with Azure Resource Manager templates is to browse the gallery, and there's a lot of templates in the gallery. Browse that gallery, find something that looks interesting, save it locally, and then start looking at those JSON files to actually figure out how is this put together, and looking at the different functions that are available, how they put up the dependencies and stuff. It's a really good way just to kind of learn by looking at what has already been put out there and looking at other people's code, essentially. And you can use tags, and I should have showed you that, so let's jump back over here real quick. One of the things I forgot to mention on when we created this resource group was tags. So in this case here, I could create this resource group and apply tags, and this is just a hash table of name value pairs, essentially. So I can tag resources and resource groups as well. So it's going to be a great way to kind of find some options that are available. If I was to go look in the portal here, I think this is one I created last night for this guy, so Azure Conf 3, we can actually see that I have a tag section in here, and I can see the conference is Azure Conf. If I was to click on this, this would show me the tags that are associated with Conference Azure Conf. I got two resource groups now that are available associated with that tag. So it's an easy way to kind of be able to, group items. Maybe you have multiple resource groups that might be across like department, your department HR, department marketing, conference, you know, whatever you have there, I can apply these different tags to resources or resource groups, and they'll light up in the portal as well, which is pretty nice. We can actually see that the deployment failed actually gives us a chance to kind of look in here at the resource groups, and we can actually go down to the event section in here and see some information about why that actually failed for us. And we can see there's our update deployment, and we can go down, we can get some information here about what's actually going on with this guy. So a pretty nice, easy way to kind of see what's happening in there. I like this, it's pretty real time between what's in the portal and what you're specifying through PowerShell or the API as well. I see a question from Brad. Is there a way to use Resource Manager to upgrade schema on multiple, and I'm sorry, it cut off on my screen, but look at maybe multiple different resource groups or resources. And right now, it pretty much the Resource Manager works against a resource group. If I had multiple different resource groups, I would need to work, kind of specify those individually on that. But I can certainly upgrade multiple different resources within that resource group, within that template. So hopefully that answered your question there. So let's take a look now at what we can do with Visual Studio. And we've seen how we can work with the PowerShell API, PowerShell command list. We've seen the REST API. We've seen the portal. So we now look at Visual Studio. And Visual Studio is working on some really nice tooling, I think, to help us as developers use the Azure Resource Manager a lot more efficiently. One of the first things you're going to need to be able to do is download an extension in Visual Studio. Look at the Azure Resource Manager Tools Preview for Visual Studio 2013. It's the kind of the first version out. It's not a fully complete version, but this helps us with some of that stuff and figuring out how we can actually work with Resource Manager. Once we install the tooling, the preview tool, when I go in to create a new project, I'll see a new section in the cloud section and our templates called Cloud App from Azure Gallery. And I want to click on that. And this will help us, and I'll show you here in a minute, but this will help us actually have an interface in place that I can actually work with creating these templates and be able to browse a gallery and so forth there. And I see a question from Ryan asking if there's going to be a GUI for building the Resource Manager. I'm assuming a templates on that. I think some of the GUI we're going to see in Visual Studio here is a kind of the start to that. I'm definitely not complete. I have some rough edges in the preview version. But I think, as we'll see, this is a way that we can get some early access to this and definitely provide that feedback on what we would like to see, provide that back to the Visual Studio teams to help them build a tool that'd be really great for us. So go into Visual Studio here, and let's go ahead and add a new project to this existing solution. So we'll right-click on this, I'm going to add a new project. See, I go to the Cloud section here, and then Cloud App from Azure Gallery. So that's the new plugin that we have, or a new extension that lit this up for us, and we'll say, go keep Azure Cloud One. So we can see here is a new screen that's in place because we added this template, or added that extension to Visual Studio. And right now, the only templates that are available are website and website plus SQL. Those are the two probably more common templates that are in place. But this gives us an easy starting point. I think as this tooling evolves, we'll probably see richer templates and more templates show up. But we can go ahead and look here at the website plus SQL version as well. So we can see information about it, some, you know, what version of the template we're using. Let's go ahead and click OK on that. And at this point now, it looks just like the regular templates that are available, or creating a new ASP.NET project. So we'll just click OK to get through the rest of this. Let's take a look at what that actually generated for us. So go in here, a couple of things to point out is there's two projects. One is Azure Cloud One. That is really just our standard ASP.NET MVC project. Right? That's the website we're going to be deploying. And then I have this new .deployment project in place. This deployment project is exactly that. It is a deployment project where it has, You notice there's a script section in here. If I double click this, this should look fairly familiar, right? We're switching our mode over to Azure Resource Manager, and they're deploying a new Azure Resource group, giving a name and then a template file and a parameters file as well. So we saw in the PowerShell example where I specified the parameters on the command line with just dash parameter name, I can actually have a template file or a parameters file as well and put those in there. So here's our file, our template. We're going to make some changes to this, but just real quick to show you the parameters. Here's our parameters file as well, specifying, you know, the different site name, hosting plan, site location, and so forth in that. Now, if I wanted to deploy this, I could simply right-click on this and say deploy resource group, saying which resource group do I want to deploy to, an existing resource group, or I could create a new one, put my template file and our parameters file. I need a storage account because this will actually, these files locally will get uploaded to Blob Storage, Azure Blob Storage, and deployed from there. So I could certainly say, you know, hey, I want to use the Azure Conf 2014 storage account. Now the UI we get right now is fairly primitive at this point. It's a very basic just list of the parameters that are available. But you can see in here I get just a list and I can see if these are required. And I can say that because of how I put together the template, the parameters, there are some different options here that are available as well, along with the default. So it does help us fill this out a little bit. What I want to do now is make a couple of changes to this template. So let's go in here and let's actually add some properties into this template. So one I want to do is let's actually add in. So first of all, I guess before we get into what we want to add in, when I deploy this, all this is really doing is deploying the Azure website and SQL database. It's not actually deploying any of our bits for us, right? If I was to just, when I said right-click deploy resource group, that just creates the Azure website and Azure SQL database for me. It doesn't actually deploy my ASP.NET MVC project for me. I'd have to do that separately, and using Azure websites, that could be something like web deploy to deploy that. But what I really would like to do is create the website and deploy it all in the same action. So I have one kind of script that takes care of everything for me. And we can certainly do that. So I'm going to paste in some code here and see and show you kind of how we can actually walk through that. So I'm going to there's an extension called msdeploy we're going to paste in. So we're going to go in here. Let's move some things around here to make it a little bit easier to see. And our website section in here. Yeah, so we're going to add a new resource here. Give it some space, we can kind of see where we're pasting that in. So what we're doing in this case here is I have, let's see to get it in the right spot. Take this out 1 second, make sure I get paste that in the right spot here real quick. I'm going to switch over to one that I've already got put together that I know is correct and walk you through some of those sections there. So if I go into this, this is the same template that we created here. Two things to look at here is there's our msdeploy template. I put it in the wrong section. That's one of the kind of tricks sometimes, getting these templates in the right, or getting these resources in the right spot. So if you look in here, I got msdeploy extension. It's going to depend on our Azure website being created. And then this msdeploy is actually going to reach out to Blob Storage. And I've taken my ASP.NET application, created a web deploy zip file for that, and put it into Azure Blob Storage. We can see you got an Azure Conf 2014 and put a shared access signature on that as well. So it's available. And then just kind of set this up. So what this will allow us to do is when I create the Azure website, it'll actually create the website and then deploy using msdeploy our application as well, which is pretty nice. So I can do it all in one file swoop. What I also like to do is now I got a website and a database in here and I got web deploy, I'd like to put some Redis cache in place and have the Redis cache all wired up for us as well. And we can do that. We can certainly add in that Redis cache, and that is down here. So there's another resource that I added in. So I say I want to use microsoft.cache/redis. It's going to be whatever our site looks, the same location as our website. So I want to make sure the cache and website are in the same region together. And then I specify some properties about this cache, a basic, a certain size, capacity, and Redis version as well, passing that information in. Now I want to make sure that when this is created, that we're actually waiting for this to get created and then getting the connection string for the Redis cache as well and updating our website's configuration file, our website's configuration. So a way to do that here is this is the resources, child resource of our app, of our website. And there's a configuration resource type. And we can see in here that I've got a couple of depends on. One is I need to make sure that the website is up. That depends, setting the configuration depends on the website. And then we're going to set up the same for the Redis cache as well. So two things to look at. There's two connection strings in here. One is the default one. This was set up by the template saying I want to create a connection string for SQL database. But then I have another one here for working with the cache. So I'm going to create a new connection string, concatenating the cache name together with redis.cache.windows.net. And then this part here where I'm listing the keys, this is allowing us to go out to the management API resource manager and get the keys. These are auto-generated keys by Azure to get the keys so then I can paste in a connection string there. And what that'll look like when we go back into the portal, let's close out some of these for us here. Oops, one too many. Browse, resource groups. And this is one we created before, so let's just show you what that looks like when it's done in the portal. Websites. And we'll go down to the bottom here on this website and we'll look at the configuration for this. And we can see we have two connection strings in here and we have one that is set up just for, let's just copy this out. So we can see what that looks like. Paste this in here. So you can see that we pasted in our Azure Conf Redis cache and our password as well. So an easy way to kind of go ahead and set up those templates and have one template take care of provisioning the website, the database, Azure Redis cache, deploying our ASP.NET application as well, and then hooking up the connection strings for us. So a really nice, easy way to go there. So just to kind of recap a little bit on what we saw there, go to get the Azure Resource Manager Tools Preview, get that in the Visual Studio 2013. Select your gallery template. Right now there's only two available. Hopefully more will come online in the future. Set up those defaults. Deploy the resource group. Remember that when you deploy that, you're just deploying a resource group and the resources. You're not actually deploying your application. That's a separate step. Unless you use a thing like Web Deploy Extension to go ahead and configure that resource, in this case, deploying from our web deploy file we put into blob storage. And then we can customize this with additional resources as well. Like we saw the Redis one wasn't available. To get that template for Redis, I just went out to the gallery and downloaded that the Redis template from the Azure gallery and pasted that logic in into my template as well. Some limitations, we talked about a couple of these already. One is just being able to move items between resource groups. Once an item is in a resource group, I can't move it to another resource group. I'd have to basically recreate it. So you basically have to provision resources into a resource group. And right now, there's no ability to extract items that we've already provisioned in the cloud, kind of a cloud provisioning model. So if I was to create my application in Azure today, there's no way for me to go in and say, you know, save as template and bring that down. A resource manager really works kind of from a new, like a greenfield application and creating those resources. I'm personally hoping that'll be something that'll be added in the future, be able to save templates down from things we've already created. And there is a limit of 200 resource groups currently per subscription. So you have to be careful when you're deleting resources that you might want to delete the resource group as well. It's really up to you on how you want to handle management of those resource groups. But you could get into a case where I have a bunch of resources and resource groups, delete the resources, the resource group remains, and then I start getting errors saying that I've reached my quota on the number of resource groups. In order to clean that information up, you can simply go out and say, I want to give me all the different resource groups, and then find the ones where the resource groups are empty, and then forcibly remove those items from the resource group. So as a quick kind of wrap up, just remember that Azure Resource Manager is a great way to handle your application lifecycle or DevOps, where you go provision and deprovision. Resource Manager is really a provisioning and deprovisioning tool to help us manage those applications in a logical group. It is a declarative syntax, all built on JSON using these templates. I can save these templates. They're idempotent, gives me a lot of flexibility in how I want to add new items to it and get into that certain desired state. Give me a nice model to save in things like source control as well. And provides that great next generation management API that I can work with, a very easy to use REST-friendly API that I can leverage from the portal, the command line, PowerShell, or what have you. And with that, I see one extra question here from Neil. When will additional templates be ready to use SharePoint Farm as something there? So I'm guessing we'll look at where like the SharePoint Farm templates will be. Right now, I don't have a good answer for when those additional templates will be available. I know they're in the gallery, and you can look at those. But most of the more complicated IaaS templates are intentionally left blank. So I'm just as curious as you are to see kind of how to build out some of those. But you can certainly download some of the standard VM templates and see how to provision disks and different resources there within that and kind of try to piece some of that information together. But if you don't have an Azure subscription, definitely encourage you to go out and get one. You can get started with a $200 credit. For that, go to akms/azureconf2014. And I see one other question here from Ben. Is the 200 resource groups per subscription a soft limit that support, I'm assuming, can't update? And you know, that's a good question. I don't know. I have to follow up with that. A lot of those resource, a lot of those limits are soft limits that you can submit a ticket for to get raised. But that's a good question. If you hit me up on Twitter, I'll try to follow up with some guys and try to figure out if that is one of those soft limits or not. Thank you. And with that, let's see if there's any other questions coming in. But definitely encourage you to stay around for the next sessions. There's a lot of good speakers coming up on some really cool things that you can do within Azure.